You're listening to Black Helicopter News.
The Black Helicopter crowd knows
that. The tyranny is always lurking just around the corner.
Yep. Conspiracy theory.
They've been crazy, but now they're right.
Black Helicopter News starts now.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Black Helicopter News. I'm your host, Andrew Robinson, and we got a lot of news to get through. Here's what's coming up on today's show. Mona Lisa, the humanoid alien found by Apollo 20. Also, giants in suspended animation ready to awaken, whistleblower claims. And media refusing to cover police and witnesses' accounts of three white male shooters in San Bernardino terrorist attack. And Whit Stevenson will be joining me later in the show. All that and more coming up next, but first, I want to make some quick announcements. Be on the lookout for the special Christmas episode, be released on Christmas Eve, and the end of year wrap up, New Year's Eve episode, top 15 moments of 2015. I'm also working on my new EP, untitled as of yet. Now, back to the news. Mona Lisa, the humanoid alien found by Apollo 20. This is on EarthWeAreOne.com. While officially NASA stopped its Apollo program with Apollo 17, many researchers claim that NASA continued this program in secrecy. The reason was simple. Aliens on the moon. The official NASA story about why the program was shut down was budget cuts, relocation of funds, and other reasons that didn't seem to add up. Why stop one of the most successful NASA missions in history? Conspiracists believe that NASA didn't stop at Apollo 17. It is believed that NASA continued with the Apollo program and managed to send Apollo 18, 19, and 20 to the moon. Apollo missions 18 and 19 found evidence of alien artifacts on the surface of the Earth's moon. Apollo 19 was destroyed due to a catastrophic collision and didn't manage to return home safely. But that did not stop NASA from sending Apollo 20 to the moon, the mission that succeeded in returning to Earth, lost alien technology and a humanoid female from a crashed alien spacecraft. But are these just wild claims? Well, in 2007, several interesting videos were posted on YouTube by William Rutledge, an individual who claims to have been a part of the Apollo 20 mission. Rutledge claims that there are countless structures on the far side of the moon, and he even showed videos of the structures and alien female who was found in a giant crashed alien ship. Rutledge states that Apollo 20 wasn't just an American mission, it was the result of a joint venture between the U.S. and Soviets. The mission was launched in 1976. Rutledge continues, I don't know how, but the Soviets were informed of the presence of a large ship on the far side. Apollo 20 was then sent to the far side of the moon. Once on the moon, Apollo 20 crew members found a giant 2-mile-long alien spaceship, and not far from it was another, much smaller spaceship. Rutledge states, the moon city was named on Earth and referred to as Station 1, but it appeared to be really just space garbage, full of scrap, gold parts, and only one construction seemed intact. We named it the Cathedral. We took pictures of pieces of metal, of every part bearing calligraphy exposed to the sun. The city seemed to be as old as a ship, but it is a very tiny place. We went inside the big spaceship, also into a triangular one. The major conclusions of the exploration were it was a mothership, very old, that crossed the universe at least a billion years ago. There were many signs of biology inside. Old remains of vegetation in a motor section, special triangular rocks that emitted tears of a yellow liquid with special properties, and, of course, signs of extrasolar creatures. We found remains of little bodies, 4 inches long, that lived and died in a network of glass tubes all along the ship. But the major discovery was that of 2 humanoid bodies, one intact. They found a humanoid alien body which was called Mona Lisa, and Rutledge described her as neither being dead nor alive. She was in some sort of deep sleep. The alien body is said to have been taken to the lunar module where crew members inspected the body. Rutledge added, I don't remember who named the girl, Leonov or me, was the intact extraterrestrial biological entity. Humanoid female, 5'5", 6 fingers, piloting device fixed to fingers and eyes, no clothes. We had to cut 2 cables connected to the nose, no nostril. We told mission control conditions seemed not dead, not alive. We had no medical background or experience. We fixed our bio equipment on the EBE and telemetry received by mission control meds was positive. Apollo 20 members have found another humanoid alien, but according to Rutledge, it looked that it had died a long time ago. We found a second body, destroyed, and we brought the head on board. Color of the skin was blue-gray, pastel blue. Skin had some strange details above the eyes and at the front. A strap went around the head wearing no inscription. According to Rutledge, the alien dubbed Mona Lisa is located on Earth. I'm the whistleblower. What can NASA do now? Blocking or suing me would be an acknowledgement. Grammy Award winner and platinum recording artist, President Zen One. His debut studio album, Philosopher's Stone, including the smash single, New World Order. President Zen One, Philosopher's Stone, the digital album, available on iTunes, Amazon Music, Google Play, and CDBaby.com. Get your copy today. Andrew Robinson here. At Armageddon Record Shop, we've partnered with eBay to expand our operation. My goal is to find the best deals on the highest quality products and give them to you at the lowest prices possible. The New World Order wants us dependent. We need to be self-sufficient. Visit us at ebay.com/USR/Armageddon Record Shop. Books, video games, clothing, and much more. New items every month. Armageddon Record Shop on eBay. Welcome back. You're listening to Black Helicopter News, and I'm your host, Andrew Robinson. Next up, giants in suspended animation, ready to awaken, whistleblower claims. More than a century ago, a secret society discovered a cave hidden deep beneath the Earth's surface. Inside the cave were several ancient giants alive, but in a state of suspended animation. We might think we know the truth about Earth's ancient history, but it isn't so. Whistleblower Corey Good claims to have spent 20 years enrolled in secret space programs and covert government operations. During this period, he witnessed a multitude of extremely bizarre events and visited places we never even knew existed. One of the most interesting of them was an underground chamber where ancient giants were being kept in suspended animation since time immemorial. According to Good, the chamber was constructed by the ancient builder race, and the hibernating giants were the last of their kind. Several of these giants were kept inside crystal pods in a death-like state, but they were not dead. At the time of its disappearance, this civilization possessed technological capabilities that far surpass our own. The stasis chambers were a testament to their progress, as they employed crystal technology that allegedly altered the flow of time. 30,000 years could pass, but for the crystal capsule's occupant, it would only seem like 30 minutes. The technology to create and maintain time bubbles is something humans aspire to one day possess, but according to Good, it has been present on Earth for thousands of years. This ancient builder technology is so far beyond even what most of these ETs use that some of these beings want to get their hands on it. It's multidimensional technology. The underground cavern was no secret to the shadow government Good claimed to have worked for. In fact, it was discovered sometime during the 19th century. There was this one location that, back in the 1800s even, people were going from certain, I guess people would call them Illuminati or other elite groups. They were going to visit this one area that was kind of like a grotto or an underground cave. It went up about 90 feet and it was covered. They had coated it in some sort of pitch black material. And there was an ancient language that was around on the inside that they had mostly deciphered. There were also three sarcophagi in kind of a Y-shaped formation on the floor. In between the three sarcophagi was a cube-shaped pedestal holding a blue glowing crystal matrix with like a spider web connecting it to the four corners, suspending it. Good said this crystal was responsible for creating and maintaining the time bubble. The three giant caskets held three very tall beings, or large, giant humans, with reddish beards and pale white skin. And the mystery goes deeper. Good recalled that the giant humanoids appeared to have squeezed themselves into the sarcophagi on account of being too tall. By the looks of it, the stasis chamber had been originally built by some other beings, and the giants were intruders. They had simply taken advantage of the ancient high tech. No one knows who they were or where they came from, but Good claimed that there are countless other giants in stasis chambers all over the world. All over the world. In some areas, some of the beings they found in stasis were of a different ethnic group that had, I guess, found these technologies and learned to use them, but these tall, red-headed, red-bearded groups were only found in Europe and the Americas. This technology is littered beneath the Earth's surface, and there were a lot of these locations where they found these stasis beings. And there there was a lot of locations where they found these giants in stasis, and the technology had failed and the beings were deceased. Good even provided visual evidence to back up his claim. He made a video that showcased one of the ancient beings, and he tampered with his stasis chamber, and as a result, the giant died. Let's check. I'm going to check this out. All right, folks, I'm trying to check it out. The video's not playing. I'm guessing the New World Order is blocking the signal from playing. Sorry, folks, I'd have a clip, but I've been hijacked by the globalist. Moving on. It's interesting to note that other items present in the sarcophagus, such as the goldfish engraved with Sumerian cuneiform symbols. Good claim that it wasn't unusual for them to find such artifacts. And he noted that ancient Egyptian and Hindu symbols were also present on the walls of other stasis chambers. And those weren't the only out-of-place inscriptions. Right at the entrance, there was a large stone that came out, rounded out before you went this way into the grotto, and people had been basically tagging it, writing their names on it. And one of the names on it was Abraham Lincoln. While this statement sounds outrageous, we should point out that there might be some truth behind it. In 1848, while visiting the Niagara Falls, Lincoln gave a speech in which he mentioned the ancient giants. The eyes of that species of extinct giants whose bones fill the mounds of America have glazed on Niagara, as ours do now. You might be wondering, how on earth did Corey Good come by this information? And his answer adds a few more layers to the weird puzzle. While serving in the secret space program, he would routinely analyze information on what he called smart glass pads. These glass pads were as old as the stasis chambers themselves and served as ancient encyclopedias providing information about our planet's secret past, extraterrestrial visitations, and various alien technologies. Good's disclosure, however intriguing, raises a few questions regarding legitimacy, the most pervasive of them being, can we trust him? Some of his claims seem to be verified by the discovery of giant skeletons all over the world. Whenever possible, these discoveries were kept secret or suppressed by the powers in charge, like the Smithsonian. There are virtually hundreds of reports of unusually large humanoid remains being found, but physical evidence is almost impossible to come by. At the moment, Good has no evidence to back up his claims. Perhaps this will change in the future when the giants awaken or the ancient builders return. Whichever comes first, we'll be right back.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Party members have been murdered, Chief Inspector.
We're interrupting your regularly scheduled program to bring you this terrifying report.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Jane, what more can you tell us about the Salomon Brothers building and its collapse?
New York, very much a city still in chaos. The phones are not working properly. The subway lines are not working properly.
The sky now black with smoke in front of us, just across the Tigris River here. This is shock and awe, Tom, to the population of Baghdad. Shock and awe, indeed.
The people you liberate will witness the honorable and decent spirit of the American military.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
Come on.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
I love my dad. I'd kill for him. I'd go to prison for him because I love him so much.
I love Bill Clinton.
What does that make Hillary Clinton to the Bush family?
My sister-in-law.
When you are subverting the power of government, that's a fundamentally dangerous thing to democracy.
What do you think of Edward Snowden?
I think he's a traitor.
Obama is the one that kills the U.S. troops if the Russians bomb any of them. Obama is the one that put him in harm's way. Obama is the one using them as human shields.
It is the most corrupt, degenerate, criminal government in American history.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
Welcome to America, ISIS. This is what we do. Woo!
We got people that have taken your asses out in this building right now. We're armed to the teeth, and we're not scared. You got that, you sons of bitches?
In 2012, your agency was saying, quote, the Salafists, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq are the major forces driving the insurgents in Syria. Mm-hmm. In 2012, the U.S. was helping coordinate arms transfers to those same groups. Why did you not stop that?
Why didn't you come forward before? What were you waiting for?
Well, for you, Inspector. I needed you.
I suddenly had this feeling that everything was connected. We're all part of it. Are we ready for it?
Welcome back. You're listening to Black Helicopter News. Next, media refusing to cover police and witness accounts of three white male shooters in San Bernardino. This is on freethoughtproject.com. As is the case with many horrific events in recent U.S. history, the San Bernardino shooting leaves many Americans with more questions than answers. On a night of December 2nd, after the tragic shootings at the Inland Regional Medical Center, CBS Evening News interviewed a witness to the shooting. The interview, which took place live and over the phone, had not been covered by any other mainstream outlet, which is my cue to cover it. The vastly different details provided completely contradict the official narrative while backing up several other eyewitness accounts. Witness Sally Abdelmagid, who works at the Inland Regional Center and witnessed the shooting, spoke to CBS correspondent Scott Pelley. During this interview, Pelley would ask Abdelmagid to describe the shooters in detail. She replied that the shooters were three tall, athletic white men. Sounds like a false flag. Reminiscing of the Boston bombing. So in the interview, she says she heard shots fired from an automatic weapon. Then we just looked and saw three men dressed in all black military attire with vests on. They were holding assault rifles. He asked her to describe them in more detail. He said she couldn't see his face. He had a black hat on, and all she could see was a black hat and black long sleeve shirt and gloves. He had on black cargo pants, the kind with zippers on the side and big puffy pockets. He had a huge assault rifle and he had extra ammo. He asks her if she's certain she saw three men. She replies, yes, it looked like their skin color was white. They looked like they were athletic build and appeared to be tall. Folks, we don't have a studio here, so what you're hearing is fucking gardening equipment. What makes her account so compelling is she's corroborating initial reports coming from unknown witnesses and police accounts on the ground during the shooting. After these people were giving their accounts of the incident, a man, Mark Stu, who works in the information technology for the county's public health department, said his daughter called from the scene at the Inland Regional Center and described the exact same thing. It was like a Christmas party, an awkward party that we were having, Stu said. She went to the restroom and she called me. She was huddled in the restroom. And three gunmen came in and they started shooting people. Colleagues that I work with, Stu said. As the press descended upon the scene, police began to insert themselves between witnesses and reporters. Not only did they threaten witnesses by telling them not to talk to the press, illegal, but they were seen on live TV physically pushing witnesses and press away from each other. Pretty sure that's illegal, and also an example of tyranny. Another strange facet to this already shady story was the fact that a SWAT team was holding an active shooter drill right next to where the shootings began. San Bernardino Police Department Lieutenant Richard Lawhead confirmed that their SWAT team happened to be conducting training nearby. The team was suited, ready to roll, and responded rapidly, according to Lawhead. What makes this drill noteworthy is, besides that's number one in the rubric of a false flag, is that this is not the first time emergency drills for the exact scenario unfolding were taking place at virtually the same moment as the actual terrorist attack. Paris area emergency personnel and ambulance crew were taking part in a simulated emergency exercise on the very same day of the Paris terrorist attacks took place. Consequently, witnesses to the Paris attacks also said that the attackers were white men, clean-shaven, and dressed in black. During the 9/11 attacks on the U.S., NORAD was in the midst of a training exercise as well. It was called Vigilant Guardian, which coincidentally simulated planes being hijacked by terrorists. The London subway attacks on 7/7 also encompassed drills happening only days prior to the terrorist attack. To add even more mystery to the shooting. An attorney for the family describes numerous ways that the official story of that horrible crime doesn't add up. There's a lot of disconnects and there's a lot of unknowns and a lot of things that quite frankly don't add up, insisted attorney David S. Chelsea, who represents Farouk's family. As Black Helicopter News previously reported, witnesses and investigators have both described the terrorist onslaught carried out with military precision by suspects who are trained and capable. Farouk and his wife, Tashfeem Malik, didn't appear to have the necessary background and skill set, according to Chelsea. He expressed particular skepticism that Malik, who was nursing a newborn child, was suitable to carry out a depraved mission of that kind. She was only about 90 pounds, so it's unlikely she could even carry a weapon or wear some type of a vest or do anything or do any of this. The most provocative claim made by Chelsea dealt with the condition of the alleged terrorists when their bodies were found. Where the couple was found, from what I understand, is that they were handcuffed, lying face down in this truck, shot up. By all accounts, Farouk's family is cooperating fully in the investigation. We sat with the FBI for 3 hours and tried to identify some characteristics or affiliations he might have that led them to act this way, and they were totally stumped. That same day, the attorney for the family insisted the official story was false flag. The FBI allowed dozens of reporters to trample and destroy the crime scene and make zero arrests. And as the case with many horrific events in recent U.S. history, the San Bernardino shooting leaves many Americans with more questions than answers. With a government so apt to deceive its citizens at the drop of a hat, who's to know what really happened? One thing, however, should remain certain, and that's that we must question everything. The second all Americans begin to accept the word of their leaders as gospel is the second liberty dies for good. We'll be right back. Grammy Award winner and platinum recording artist, President Zen One, his debut studio album, Philosopher's Stone, including the smash single, New World Order. President Zen One, Philosopher's Stone, the digital album, available on iTunes, Amazon Music, Google Play, and CDBaby.com. Get your copy today. Andrew Robinson here. At Armageddon Record Shop, we've partnered with eBay to expand our operation. My goal is to find the best deals on the highest quality products and give them to you at the lowest prices possible. The New World Order wants us dependent. We need to be self-sufficient. Visit us at ebay.com/USR/Armageddon Record Shop. Books, video games, clothing, and much more. New items every month. Armageddon Record Shop on eBay. So right now I'm joined with Whit Stevenson.
Unfortunately, I can't stay long, so it'll be brief because I want you to remember it. Your own research is The Spear of Destiny. It's a really interesting subject. And there's a book called The Spear of Destiny on Amazon. You can find it. It's all about the Spear of Destiny is the tip of a Roman centurion by the name of Longinus. His sword pierced the side of Christ as an act of mercy to end the suffering of Savior, which is why Longinus is often referred to as first Christian, because even though people before him thought of Jesus as the Son of God and all of these things, that this guy was the first person to have an experience of compassion for a complete stranger and recognition of that person as divine, and therefore his death, or his, could say Longinus murdered him, but not really. I mean, he was already bleeding to death from being crucified, right? So
yeah.
Anyway, it was an act of mercy, and the book is fascinating. It talks about this relic and what happens to the relic and its history in the history of our planet of the last 2,000 years. So, that's just a subject I think everybody should know about, and I certainly want you to remember it and look into it when you have a chance. I would love to read this book on mind control that you just handed to me. It looks really amazing. I certainly have witnessed plenty of mind control, both of my own mind by observation and reflection, and also just through seeing it, you know, laid out in media manipulations. And
I especially notice it in music, mind control through music, because sure. The messages.
Well, you could say that either way, music is incredibly powerful, and it affects us either for better or ill, right? Like, if there is some devious stuff going on, yeah, it can have an effect on you. But if it's just in a more positive example, the case of an artist who knows that their art has the power to heal you or to awaken in your mind. That person is intentionally creating that art to give you an experience, a positive experience, an awakening, positive emotion. I mean, I think that all this conspiracy stuff, I don't think I ever would have really started, you know, really come to it. And through William Cooper, by the way, he was really the first person, and David Icke shortly after that. You know, here we go. Behold a Pale White Horse. I still haven't read this book, but I know enough about his story to have been really shooken up and awakened by him. You know, but all of these things that I came to later in my life, I know I never would have if it hadn't been for music. And certainly visual art has played a role, too, that's very strong. But music, because it was always part of my life, I listened to as much music as I could growing up. That was the media of choice. And you know, I progressive rock bands like Yes or Pink Floyd or, you know, any great music that has lyrical content, which is really poetry. You just don't really realize it when you're listening to it. You think of it just on those terms or whatever, but it's the poetry and the writing and music that always affected me the strongest because it could directly affect me. I mean, it's all in concert, right? Like, the music of Yes goes right along with the lyrics of Yes to give you a whole awakening experience. That's just one example. But there's tons of great music out there. And yeah, you do have to be careful because if you're not guarded or if you're not really paying attention, you could be influenced for the negative through music that contains attempts at mind control. Dangerous thing. Ideas put into your head. I mean, but
political messages.
Right, but like we were talking about earlier, like, doesn't it start even earlier than that? Because, like, everyone goes to school and
Indoctrinated. From 5 years old.
Yeah, you just get used to being in a system. You don't get used to being stimulated and having your wishes pulled out of you and expressed, and you don't experience a completely positive, loving environment where what you have inside you is discovered both by you and your friends and parents and family, where, you know, it's, you don't have the opposite of what we live in, which is, it's not so easy to call it opposites, but my point is that we don't live in a positive society. We live in a society that's characterized by exploitation and
obedience,
control and obedience, yeah, all these negatives. So I don't want to live that way anymore. I'm just going to say no to it and start to live positive and not be afraid, because fear is the enemy. And some of this stuff that we read can make you really afraid, dude.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about trying to be at the helm of my experience and trying to not allow too much negativity in.
Yeah.
You have to maintain a healthy skepticism and also keep moving forward and researching the depth of the rabbit hole, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I'm 50. I can't afford to give away my being and give away my power and give away my ultimate, my own experience of life itself in any way. I can't give it away anymore. I've given away way too much. Or to put it more correctly, I'd like to give away myself for the right reasons, but with complete intentionality and consciousness. Then at least I know I'm participating. At least I know that I'm making choices that are positive, that I'd be proud to leave. I have to leave a legacy. I'm gonna leave a legacy either way, so I may as well be one that I've lived more, at least a little more, in the direction of my intentions and what I wish for. What you wish for, you know? I think we're all kind of sharing the same mind these days. I really do. I feel like it's never
collective
been...
collective consciousness?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's never been clearer to see and sort of... And clearer to experience than it is these days. You know, it's like I look in the eyes of a person that I work with, or just someone... Could even be a complete stranger, and I can still... You know, sometimes it's harder with a stranger, but you recognize commonality that, you know... Or a spirit, an experience of frustration. You know, like, you have a frustrating experience in public, and it's pretty often that somebody who you don't even know will be there and just say, oh yeah, man, I get it, like, it sucks.
Yeah.
And then that's it, and you never see him again. But it doesn't matter. The point is, you shared something for even that much time, and it shows that we are kind of all thinking the same thoughts and feeling the same feelings. I mean, not all of them, but a lot. There's a lot of commonality.
Maybe that's why we have so many distractions, so we don't find that connection.
Right.
We're too busy with the television.
That's a great connection that you just made, because you brought it right back to what we were before talking about, you know, living with intention.
Yeah, I really do think that people can unite for a good purpose. like just on a basic unconditional love or just that basic brotherhood with fellow humans.
Yeah, right on.
Maybe we need an alien invasion to shake that up because people still want to divide, be conquered. But
I just saw the trailer for the new Independence Day. Although that movie's a fun ride, it's always struck me as an attempt to, you know, instill fear.
Or predict.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, I feel like that story has been told a lot. I mean, think about it. The history of UFOs in the media is a history of mostly scare tactics, especially if you look at those old black and white 50s movies.
Yeah.
You know? But occasionally you see a movie where the alien is represented as being intelligent and you know, hopefully even compassionate. And usually those types of characters you don't hear much about because they basically get back on their ship and leave because they're not useful to us because they're so far ahead of us and we're not paying attention to them. So they kind of like go, oh, I guess I'm a little early here. See you in, you know, 20 years.
We saw a lot of that on the Twilight Zone in the old black and white episodes.
Which has just been in the news because of the release of the box set of the Twilight Zone.
I didn't hear
it's
that.
It's all been put out on DVD, and I think there's even some stuff that was never aired on those discs. And I was listening to some progressive radio show recently, and they were talking about Rod Serling because he was behind, which I didn't know. He was, I guess, the main creator of the Twilight Zone, and he's the guy who speaks in the beginning, even though he wrote something like 38 out of 100 and something episodes. So he didn't write all of them, but he did write a majority. And I grew up not remembering that show as much as Rod Serling's Night Gallery, which I remember very well and being pretty well scared the poop out of me right before bed.
That one I never heard of.
Night Gallery was in color and it was a good show. It was well written. He wrote some of them. I may be wrong. He may have written all of the Twilight Zones, but only a fraction of the Night Gallery. I think that's what it was. So sorry about that.
What was that link you sent me the other day about the radio station? I didn't get a chance to check that out. You said you're listening to, was it WBAI? Yes.
Yeah, that's a pretty well-known progressive station in New York. It's been around for a while. Lot of my older folks who I've learned things from, you know, stick by. I came across the station again only because I was listening to Democracy Now, and it happened to be, at the time I was listening to it, it happened to be coming through that station. But since then, I've started following that station, too, because there's a lot of good programs.
Yeah, I'm going
to
follow that. I was thinking about checking that. Seen for Stitcher or iTunes?
I used
TuneIn.
TuneIn.
Anything else you want to say? Want to talk about before we go?
Maintaining positive focus for a positive outcome.
Yeah, and I thank you. You may have gotten me a job.
I hope so. That would be awesome.
Doing something I love. Yeah. Making juices.
That would be great. That would be great. I'll be happy to check in with more planning. I know the last couple of episodes that I've been in have been kind of off the cuff, which is fine. But
four in a row, though.
Right. That's cool. I'm down.
And I guess we'll be seeing a lot more guests because I'm being introduced at this new job to new people.
Yeah. If all goes well, even if you don't get the job, you've already met a few new people that will probably be down for the cause.
So can we get you on before the New Year? I'm going to have a New Year's and for the listeners. I plan on doing a special Christmas episode on Christmas Eve release. Christmas centric.
I can't promise I'll make it for that one just because I have so much to do.
Okay.
But maybe between Christmas and New Year's, we could talk about the meaning of Christmas extended from your Christmas show.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Because there's some weird synchronicities with Santa, Satan stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's something. But you talk
That's
about mind control.
Exploring.
Talk about mind control. Teaching Santa as a word to children when it's so close to the word Satan. It's just, you can't ignore this stuff after at a certain point. Come on.
Also, I'm going to be working on and releasing a year-end wrap-up where I'm going to take highlights from top 15 highlights of 2015. And I'm sure you'll make a couple of those top 15 clips.
Sweet.
And it's going to be like a year-round wrap-up. And hopefully, you know, if you want to co-host that.
Yeah.
All right.
And
so.
If I could throw in a plug.
Yeah.
My brother has a show that you can find. I know it's on TuneIn. I don't know if it's on Stitcher. The station is, so WMRW/LP, which stands for low power. It's 95.1 on your FM dial, folks. It's alternative rock out of the Mad River Valley, Vermont, Ernie Sanders land. So check it out. Robin Hood Radio, Wednesday nights from 9 to 11. Peter Stevenson, my bro. He will treat you right to some righteous tunes and some commentary, and there's always the Corrupt Cop of the Week story, which is always fun. So check it out. Robin Hood Radio, WMRWLP, Vermont Public Radio.
All right, man, check that out. I'm going to check it out, that's for sure. All right, this wraps up this week's edition of podcast. So I want to thank you for appearing. Episode 4 in a row.
Thank you.
It's a new record.
Thanks a lot, Andrew.
No problem, man.
Check us out online at armageddonrecords.com.